We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My Daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mine, all day long in the field hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the baby that night and read the Bible by the coal oil light. And everything would start all over come break of morn. Daddy loved and raised their kids on a miner's pay. Mommy scrubbed our clothes on a washboard every day. Why, I've seen her complain, there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding way. In the summertime, we didn't have shoes to wear. But in the wintertime, we'd all get a brand new pair. From a mill order catalog, money made selling a hog, Daddy always managed to get the money somewhere. Yeah, I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter. I remember well the well where I drew water. The work we done was hard, at night we'd sleep 'cause we were tall. Never thought of ever leaving, but your holler. Well, a lot of things have changed since way back then. And it's so good to be back home again. Not much left but the floor. Nothing lives here anymore. Except the memories of a coal miner's daughter.
Well, how do you like that for the first song on the Terrible Tommy Country Show? Yeah, War Radio here. War Radio. Yes, this is the Terrible Tommy Country Show, and we're going to feature Queens of Country tonight, today, and or whenever you hear it. Yeah, you can go up to our website. That's resist.com. You can download all kinds of stuff. You can download our more serious, I guess it's more serious radio show, our one-hour shows from old Terrible Tommy and Dr. Kaldenberg. We got a whole bunch of them up there. And then you can download these shows, which you're probably doing, and you can either stream them or bring them down on MP3s and play them at your leisure. Take them to work. Play them for your friends. And to reach us, you go to P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. We're out here in northern Mexico, man. We're hiding in this bunker. We're about three floors down where those little mestizos can't get to us because we got our weapons of mass destruction in the backyard. Plus, I got a hound dog and I got a 12 gauge, and they better not come around here because we are country around here, and they is not with us. Okay, now let's go to let's talk about that first song, Coal Mining. Have you ever seen the movie Manitois? Or have you seen the movie The Molly Maguires? You need to see these films because coal mining was a hell of a job, a tough job, a dirty job, and killed a lot of good white men. And, of course, you know that song John Henry? That ain't about no black guy. That ain't about no nigger. That's about a white man, you know, that was competing with a steam shovel way back. So anyhow, I've been around these coal mining towns, and I've seen how people lived and so forth, and I've seen a lot of these films and everything, and boy, if there isn't a lot of good white boys and girls, they were in the mines. And then guess what? In the 40s, the government was screwing around with the miners. Of course, the government always sided usually with the mine owners, right? That big capitalist guy that says how much he loves you. And they tried to keep screwing the miners, and the miners did not have proper health care. They were underpaid. They worked way too many hours. And then you had the Molly Maguire startup, a secret society, sort of like lone wolves, only they got all together in a pack, and hey, fuck these people. And the government brought in the military and everything else to shut them down. And they brought them in Manitowoc to try to shut those strikers down. Tough job. And then John L. Lewis came around in the 40s and said to the government, we ain't going to shovel no coal. And Roosevelt said, well, we got a war going on. You got to do what we say. He says, no, we don't. And the miners walked out and they struck, and they had to get the National Guard in to dig the coal. And I don't imagine they dug it too well, not knowing what they were doing. John L. Lewis was a champion of the working miners back then. They mechanized more after he won against the government and the big mine owners, but the conditions were much better once John L. Lewis was successful. Conditions were much better, much safer to work in the mines and so forth. So I just thought I'd add that little bit in there for you.
When you found somebody new, I thought I never would forget you, for I thought then I never could. But time has taken all the pains away. Until now, I'm bound to hurt once a day. Once a day.
Probably the kind of song that those wives and girlfriends were thinking about when they're waiting on their boyfriends and their husbands and their sons coming back from the mines, because they never knew where they were coming back. And it was a very dangerous job in the mines. And hey, going back there to, I think it was Loretta Lynn in the beginning, she talked about that washboard. Well, I remember the washboards, and I remember the first washer that I ever saw, and it sure was, you didn't plug it in because Tommy furnished the energy. It was a rack, and you had a tub on one side and a tub on the other, and you had this ringer set up in the middle, and you had a big old crank, and that was old Tommy's job when I was about 6 or 7 on South Union Street in Warsaw, Indiana. Hey, Tommy, I need you. So I'd come running, Mom said, start cranking, and I'd crank the crank, and she'd feed the clothes through there, and boy, oh boy, that's where that term, don't get your tit caught in a ringer, come from. Yeah, you could easily you get your finger caught in that ringer, and it didn't feel too good. Boy, I'll tell you that. Later, when they got the electric ones, people had really had problems to get your tie caught that ringer. Your whole face would go up to that thing and drag you right on in. But, you know, when you're cranking, it wasn't so dangerous. Yeah, I'm an old guy. Yeah, that was an interesting house we lived in back then. You know, that up until that time, we'd rented houses all over the place. My goodness, half a dozen houses at least, and we'd back and forth to Florida a few times and rented houses down there, but finally, we bought a little lot there on South Union Street, and my dad bought a grain elevator from across the street. Yeah, it looked a little bit like a house. And we got him to move that over there and put a foundation and a basement there, and then dad put that old wall board on, put carpet in that thing, and when we got done, it looked pretty much like a house. Yeah, and they did that with almost no money. And then later, we needed a garage, so dad made a deal downtown by the old Pennsylvania Railroad. There was an old house down there, only a one-room house they were getting rid of, and he paid somebody to throw that thing on the back of a big truck and brought that out there, and we put that down there and chopped a big hole on one side for a garage door, and here we go. We got a garage. So that was the way it was back then, even an outhouse on the back of the property. Yeah, that was back when Mom and Dad all worked on that house at night because they worked all day long in the factory. Yep, like a lot of other people, they worked in a factory from dawn to dusk, and the brake lining factory, as I recall. And that's not clean work. And then when they'd come home, they'd put on the overhauls and strap on the old hammer and nails. And both Mom and Dad at work finishing that house off. And that was when I got my first room, this little teeny room up in the top of this old X-grain elevator. I could barely stand up in it. But boy, I'll tell you, it was my room.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you better think it over. When it's sweet talk.
Well, there we go with I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. That reminds me of a guy I used to know here in the town I lived in. Everybody called him Blackie. Blackie Stultz was his name, and he ran a little old garage on the back street down here in town. Fixed a few cars when he wasn't drinking, and he fixed a few cars when he was drinking. And he used to fix a lot of cars for me. He did pretty good, but on the back wall of his shop, there was a great big sign. Had it professionally done, too, in this old rickety garage. It looked sort of strange. Said, I never promised you a rose garden. That was for all his customers. But you could go in there and get your car fixed, go over to his office, and have a beer just about any time of day or night. You know, a lot of people ask me, how come you got so many friends that are so eccentric and odd? Well, I don't know. I don't know, but I seem to collect them. And to be perfectly honest, they're much more interesting than the average sheep. And I've been collecting eccentric friends for a long, long time. Yeah, I remember across the street from our house there in Indiana for several years, there was an old folks there, the man and his wife, was like the Beverly Hillbillies. And they had a big farm over there. And I used to go over there and sit on the front porch and the old man in his bib overhauls and Mama in her dress that, one of those simple flannel dresses, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. And she'd sit in a swing, and boy, they'd tell me stories. Maybe that's where it got started. They used to tell me a story about their woods back there. Tommy, you got to watch out when you go back in those woods. I said, well, why, Mr. Kincaid? He said, because there's wild women back there. Wild women? Well, I was only about 8 or 9. I didn't know. Well, I'll keep a lookout for those old wild women. But I never saw wild women while I was up back in that woods. But I did see some hogs. When they go back there and have their pigs in the bushes, you better not come up on them unexpectedly, because they'll come at you like the thundering turd of hurls, man. They get mean.
It's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. You have bad times, and you have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, you'll forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. Cause after all, he's just a man.
I like that song. That's a good song, boy. And, boy, I'll tell you, and the guys got to stand by their gals, too, because, you know, the divorce rate in this country is terrible. Terrible. Well, I try to counsel some of these people that they think immediately they're in love because they get all hot and bothered. Well, that's lust. And when you first get with a gal, it's lust. You like her looks, you like her body, and you like sex and all that kind of stuff. But believe me, after a while, there's got to be a lot more to it than that, or at least equal amounts. And then maybe on down the line comes love. And that includes a lot of things besides just the physical. And too many people don't seem to understand that. Young people think, oh, I'm in love. No, you're in lust. And lust will stick around for some time, but then it can grow into love. Most people never fall in love. They fall in lust, and before they even give love a chance, they're out of it. They're gone. And too bad, too. Many times they've got two or three kids while they're in lust that they don't take care of when they leave. So if you've got a good woman out there or you got a good man, you better hang on to them, you gals and guys, because it's not easy in this day and age. Well, I'll tell you one way it's a lot easier: if you get off the credit wheel. Get off that credit wheel. Get off those credit card debts and live within your means and buy clothes at the thrift shop and buy used cars. Don't pay a car payment. Oh, my goodness. All my life, I never spent more than $1,000, maybe $1,500 on a car my whole life. And I've had about 75 cars. But what you do is just like in the old West, you know, if your horse runs out and he ain't going to go no farther, you just got to take him off the side of the road and put him out of his misery and then get another horse. Well, that's a car. Car's no big deal. You just drive it till it drops and then just dump it. That's it. And you can have, if you go to garage sales and all these kind of things, you can live pretty high on a hog, and especially if you learn to repair things. People throw away high quality stuff. And, hell, I've been repairing stuff that they've thrown away for years and don't even rule out dumpster diving. I've seen some real good items come out of the dumpsters. In fact, Loom Panics, the book publisher up there in Port Townsend, Washington, puts out a little book called Dumpster Diving for Fun and Profit. So don't let them make you so proud that you can't use things and like that. And pretty soon you'll find your relationship with your wife will be a lot better when you don't have a lot of bills, because that's what causes most breakups. And you can take that to the bank from Uncle Tommy.
Thank you.
Well, if you tuned in late, that's this is Terrible Tommy's Country Western show here on the web, and we are featuring today Queens of Country. And we've got a lot of songs here from the famous and well-known lady singers of country music. And we're going to continue after this. Now, if you haven't subscribed to the War newspaper, you better get at it. It's 12 issues, once a month, 24 pages of hot rock'em sock'em racial separation, irreverent, seditionist, oh, you name it. And our cartoons, oh boy, they either going to make you real happy or make you real sad. And we get a lot of email in here from people just so aghast at our cartoons. Well, all I can point out to them, when my cartoonist draws these, I couldn't draw them. I'm not an artist at all. But when he draws these things, he calls them the way he sees them. And with black people in there, they say, oh, you exaggerate. Well, I'll tell you what, I've told reporters before I could go for a drive for about 20 minutes here and show you people look just like that. And I could take their picture, and you could see that. So anyhow, our cartoons are worldwide, and we get a tremendous amount of hits on the website. But subscribe to the paper is $30 per year in the U.S., and that comes to you bulk mail in a plain brown envelope. So if you bulk mail means that they do not forward. So if you have a subscription and you move, you've got to let us know in plenty of time or you're not going to get your paper. Now in Canada, the Soviet Kanukistan, as we lovingly call it, we ship the paper there first class in a plain brown envelope. And then all other countries around the world, it's $50, and that's U.S. funds. Now make your checks to John Metzger. And our address again is P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, that's F-A-L-L-B-R-O-O-K, California 92088. And if you do that, and oh, we'll send you out a sample paper. Yep, we will, and that includes a catalog of all of our materials that we sell, and we use that money to support these projects. We're not a membership organization. We are just a loose association of individuals, and I hope they're all leaders in their own right. And we work from that level, so there's no membership dues here. The only thing that keeps our projects going is donations and primarily purchases. So in the paper, it's all listed in there, and we'll send you a copy of the paper. Send us a $3 bill, or $3. $1 bills in an envelope. We'll send you out a sample copy of our latest newspaper. And if you would like 1,000 of the newspapers, which we've been doing quite a bit of lately, that's $150 for 1,000 papers. Now, that's postage included within the United States. How can you beat that? If you want to really wake the town and tell the people, that's a way to do it. And 500 papers would be $75. Now, we, of course, just barely break even on that, but we're glad to get those papers out. But you have to get your order in for papers by the last before the last Friday of each month, because we go to the printers on Friday, the last Friday of the month, usually, and we got to have your money and your order by then. Don't forget to tune in to our Aryan Update, our war radio program featuring old Terrible Tommy, that's me, and Dr. Kaldenberg, the knower of all truth. And Kaldenberg is somewhat of an expert on the Odinist idea, and I'm sort of an expert on the nothing idea. I'll tell you one thing, if there were gods out there, they'd be jealous of man. Man is a much better god than some imagine god, because those gods can't take form. And we have love and lust and warfare and all the great things that white man has done. Now, according to the mythology, the gods, they just sit up there and they can just watch. So I'd rather be a human being than a god, believe me.
Funny face, I love you. Funny face, I need you. My whole world wrapped up in you. When the road away. You smile at me and say, funny face,
funny face,
I love you.
Funny face,
I love you.
Funny face,
hurt your feelings as I sometimes do, and I say those mean things that we know are not true. You forgive my childish way, you hold me close and say, funny face,
funny face,
I love you.
Funny face,
I love you.
Funny face,
I need you. These are the sweetest words I've ever heard.
Funny face, don't leave me. Funny face, believe me, my whole world's wrapped up in you.
I had button eyes and a red felt nose, a shaggy cotton chin and just one set of clothes, sitting on a shelf in a local department store, with no dreams to dream and nothing to be sorry for. I wish I was then your memory wouldn't come around hurting all the time. I'd have a so-don't smile and a faint twinkle in my eye, and I never would have ever had to learn how to cry.
I wish I was a teddy bear, not living or
and I'm wishing that I hadn't fallen in love with you.
Well, this is a little way from country, but right here in the middle of the show or so forth. Going to play you something dedicated to this damn war we got ourselves into, or not we, George Bush. You know, he took off after the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and couldn't find him, so he said, well, hell, I'll just attack this other country. Iraq, because we don't like that guy running the show. Of course, all those guys running the show in all those countries are bastards over there, so what's the big deal? So anyhow, we're very much against this war. I mean, in the sense that all these good young white guys going over there getting killed for nothing. We think the Arabs should be left to their own desserts and let them handle their own situation, and we stay out of it. If we did, we'd have all the oil we want. But no, we got our nose in it. So this next song is dedicated to this war. You might find that strange, old Terrible Tommy playing that, but you know, I've been opposing these wars for a long time, and you know, in the Vietnam War, I was all for that, going and fighting those communists and blah, 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 blah. That's the way I'd been trained for 20, 30 years, and I really thought that was the way to go, but about halfway through the war, I figured this thing out, and it's all about money, and it's all about a lot of people dying for nothing. And here old Kennedy did want to bring the troops back in 64, I believe it was, or 65, or whenever it was, he wanted to bring them back. But anyhow, I have studied quite a bit since then. I find all these wars are really not good for white people's health. And here we go with another one. And I oppose the intervention in Grenada, and I oppose Reagan and his playing around in South America, because what happens? You upset the apple cart of these tribes, and then they all come up to the United States to live. And so you got all these Nicaraguans and Panamanians and Guatemalans. They all come up here when they have too much of a fuss down there. So anyhow, that's the reason I'm playing this. And it was a lady who sang it. She's not country, but I think you catch on. War is not good for the health of the white race. Now, if you're attacked and your homeland is attacked, that's a different story. But don't play the imperialist game and the big capitalist game, the big corporation game, and go on out there getting yourself killed for nothing. And nothing for you. It means a lot of money for the rich boys. Okay, now back to some more pleasant music.
Take the ribbon from my hair. Shake it loose and let it fall, laying soft against your skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning. time. Help me make it through the night. I don't care what's right or wrong. I won't try to understand. Let the devil take tomorrow. Lord, tonight I need a friend. Yesterday is dead and gone, and tomorrow.
That's a good one. I like that song, boys. Doesn't that make you sit up and take notice and think about for all the girls we've known before? Yeah. And that's from the Queens of Country CD, and that is a really cool stuff. I like that song. You know, that reminds me, some of these white boys are getting excited and they're going off to Russia and all over the place and finding women. They're going way the hell out of this country to find women and bring them on back here. I guess they think they're going to be subservient. I remember how they used to think the Japanese women were subservient? Yeah, I know some guys around here that brought back Japanese wives, and you know who ended up being subservient? If the guys became subservient. But a lot of these guys, I guess they don't have too much self, not necessarily respect, but they just don't feel like they got it. So they want to go way across the world and get one of these mail-order brides from Russia. And there's a lot of beautiful Russian women, and I really got nothing against them. I like them. And even Siberian and way up in there and all these white ladies. But you don't have to go all over the travel 10,000 miles and spend all kinds of money to find a good woman. There's plenty of good women, plenty of good white women in this country. It's just you've got to look. You got to work at it. Same way with the gals. I get complaints all the time. Oh, I can't find a good white woman. Well, that is bullshit. They're around. But, you know, American women are more sophisticated. They, in some ways, are more educated. And you can't just treat them like some kind of a North African slave combine or commune or whatever you want to call it. So they demand a little respect. And I don't think that's too much to ask for all you white boys. And some of you I know, some of you younger guys tend to get one, get her pregnant, and away you go. Well, that's not the way to live. I was married my first wife for 25 years, and now I've got a lady I've been with for 12 years. So it's not that hard to get along if you want to get along. Yeah, you know, with all these guys going homo, I mean, look at all the women they're leaving for you. You know, as they say, oh, my goodness, there's so many homo white guys. I say, well, that's good. There's all these white women that they left around. And pretty soon, all the white boys are going to be outnumbered 10 to 1. Whoa, 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 daddy.
Delta Dawn, what's that power you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? Take you to his mansion in the sky.
She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. All the folks around Brownsville say she's crazy.
One of my favorite songs, that Delta Dawn. I've even sang that myself at karaoke. Yeah, I really, really like that song. Now, we're going to add some more songs on here from the way back Queens of Country. How about that? So, see if you recognize any of these ladies. How about it? Well, that sounded to me like it might have been a Jew lawyer. So we're out of here. That's the end for today of the Terrible Tommy's Country Show and our tribute to the Queens of Country. See you next time.